Favor and have a little closer fellowship and try to move together into the center of your row to give a little room on the end for others to still come in. If you could do that, that would help some more people to find a place to sit. Thank you.
You are God dwells with us, Emmanuel. Now it's your turn to sing together. Let's stand and sing, "Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant." Everyone standing, please. Stanza, "Yea, Lord, we greet thee."
Yea, Lord, we greet thee. 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 Lord, we
be seated.
John 3:16-17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to give them the world, but that the world through him might be saved." John 3:16-17.
Isaiah 9:6. "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isaiah 9:6.
"Joy to the world!
Joy to the world!
Joy to the world! The Lord is come. Let us
sing, and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world,
he rules the world,
he rules the world.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Let's join our voices together this time. We'll remain seated, please. Prince of Peace.
Thank you.
Thank everyone who's having a part in this service this evening. I'm sure your hearts have been blessed by that which we have already heard. It takes a lot of effort to put a service together with this much music. And we want to thank you for coming and for being here to share in this Christmas Eve service this evening. Many of you are our own folks, but many of you are not. So whether you're a regular or not, we say, welcome to you. We're glad that you're able to come. Always glad to have the Ritus sing for us. This is a very special family. As many of you know, they have dozens of children. Well, not quite dozens, but almost. And so we're always glad to have them come. And you know, as time goes on, there are changes that have to be made. I know some of you have looked at this schedule tonight, and you say, where is Jim Ryerson going to sing Little Jesus Boy? And after doing it for many, many years, he's not as steady of step as he used to be, doesn't have the confidence that he once had. He's still in the choir, and we're glad for that. But he didn't feel like he could really tackle this evening. So I hope that you will understand that. Also, Jim Martin has been our organist for many, many years, not always been here Christmas time, but all other times, but he is with us tonight, and we're so glad that Jim able to come after many weeks of absence, being in Pennsylvania for surgery and rehabilitation there, and then the Lord has been so good to bring him here to Greenville for further rehabilitation, and he has the doctor's permission to be out tonight, to be here, and then go spend the night with his family and go back to the hospital tomorrow. But that's a tremendous blessing for all of us to have Jim here. And then there are those that get a higher calling and they leave us. And you notice the handsome young man second from the right in the front row of the men's group, Tim Corey. The Coreys are going to be leaving us very soon. This will be one of the last times that he'll be singing for us. They're going to be going up to Northland Baptist Bible College, where he's going to be working in the financial area. And we're going to miss the Coreys a great deal. They've been a part of our church for over 20 years and have been involved in so many ways. We trust that one day the Lord is going to bring them back. But in the meantime, we want to pray for them and to pray that the Lord will use them. And we're going to be missing them as they go. We have an unusual number of our missionaries and other folks who've gone out from our church to serve the Lord elsewhere home for Christmas. And not all of them can be here on Wednesday evening, but many of them will be. And Wednesday night is going to be given over just to a greeting time from many of these folks. And I know you'd be blessed by coming and hearing a greeting from these people, learn a little more about some that maybe you don't know, where they're serving, what they're doing, how the Lord is using them. So that will be Wednesday night at 7:30. Now, for you hardy ones, we do have a second service this evening at 11 o'clock. I can guarantee you there won't be as many people at that service. It'll be easier to find a seat. In fact, seats are easy to find, and if you're a little tired by then, there'll even be room to stretch out on one of the pews and to take it easy while the service is in progress. I don't know which service I like the best. I like this one, but I also like that late service. There's something special about that. And so if you have a heart for staying up that late and coming, we'd invite you back again. Now, there'd be no nursery, no care for the children during that time. All good babies and boys and girls ought to be in bed by 11 o'clock on Christmas Eve. This service will be heard by delayed broadcast on WMUU tonight at 11 o'clock. Normally, we have it on at 10 on Christmas Eve, but they have another service scheduled, so it'll be on at 11 o'clock tonight. All of our offering this evening will go toward our Christmas offering, except for that that comes in the regular church envelopes. You're doing your regular giving for the regular budget needs, and you have it in a regular church giving envelope, it will go for that purpose. But all the rest that comes in will go toward our special Christmas offering. One-third of this year is going to our faculty and staff bonus, and we're doing very well on that. Another third is going toward a van for the Don Harrises down in Argentina, and we'd like to receive considerably more than what we already have for that project. And then the remaining third will go toward our new activity center. And our goal for this whole month in regular giving, year-end giving, and Christmas giving is $100,000 for that activity center. We'd like to begin that project around the 1st of June. We need about $300,000 in order to do so, to get started. We already have $1 million on hand, for which we praise God. And if we can get the additional $300,000, we'll be able to start at that time. So the ushers are going to come in just a minute and receive your offering for this evening. If you're here and you can't give anything, that's fine. We just thank you so much for coming and being with us tonight. Ushers, please come and get in place, and we'll have a word of prayer. Lord, we've heard a lot about joy in the singing tonight, and I trust that all of our hearts are filled with joy as we commemorate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ on that first Christmas night, those two millenniums ago. Thankful, Lord, that He came not just to be here in the world and to show us Yourself, but, Lord, that He also came to do a mighty work for us, to die on the cross for our sins, to shed His blood, that we might have forgiveness of sin, to deliver us from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, from the practice of sin, from the pleasure of sin, and eventually to deliver us from the presence of sin. As we give tonight, may we give as unto Him. We're thankful for those faithful ones who serve Thee through this ministry week after week. And I pray that as we give tonight to the regular budget as well as to the Christmas offering, perhaps some year-end giving, that Thou will guide us in it. And Lord, we want to stop this evening to give Thee thanks for so many special folks. We're grateful for the Ratus and the ministry You've given them and these many boys and girls that You've entrusted to them. Continue to give them wisdom in teaching them and training them in the way that they ought to go. We thank You for Tim Corey and his wife Barb and all that they have meant to this ministry. As they go from us very shortly, I pray that You'll go with them and that You'll use them in a new place, in a new way. And Lord, we rejoice tonight in Jim Martin's presence with us. That's an answer to prayer, Father, just to have him here. And may his heart be filled with joy as he is here in this service and gets to go home and spend the night with his family. Be with those that are working with him over there at Roger Peace. May they have, Lord, just unusual ability to do for Jim what needs to be done. And beyond that, we're trusting Thee to do for him what no one else is able to do. And Lord, we wouldn't forget to thank Thee for Jim Ryerson And the many, many years he blessed our hearts here on Christmas Eve and other times as well. Thank you for the long life that you've given him. And Lord, we all recognize that changes come as years go by. But we thank you for Jim's faithfulness to thee, for his love for thee, for his unwavering loyalty to your word and to your work and to his family. Now guide us in our giving this evening. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you. my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight. God gracious, tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul.
We've all undoubtedly read the story of the birth of Christ in Luke chapter 2 a number of times this season, but I'll read for you the first seven verses, and many of you can follow along in your memory. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The great miracle of Christmas is the birth of Jesus, as it was announced by the angels to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There were many other miracles that contributed to the miracle, not the least of which was the presence of Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem at the exact time when the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. From the human standpoint, that was the most unlikely place for them to be. Very unlikely. Why would a woman, within a few days of being delivered of her baby, undertake a journey of some 70 to 75 miles on the back of a donkey? But from God's standpoint, the trip was essential because of the word spoken by the prophet hundreds of years before. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, spoken by Micah, recorded in the book that bears his name, the fifth chapter in the second verse. Now God had always been as good as his word, and he wasn't going to go back on it now. Therefore, he moved a whole empire to do his bidding. All the emperor didn't know that what he was doing was going to be used of God to carry out his holy purpose. When he gave that edict that there should be a taxing of the people and every person should go back to his hometown to be registered there for the census, which determined what the taxing would be, he thought that was his idea. And maybe in a sense it was. But nonetheless, God used that decree to get Mary and Joseph where they needed to be for the birth of Mary's baby. Joseph, being a good man, followed the edict of the emperor and trudged the miles to Bethlehem with Mary, his espoused wife, not only to register for the forthcoming taxation, but more importantly, to also be in the right place at the right time for Jesus to be born in David's city. Throughout the scriptures, we find examples of others who, under the leadership of God, were in the right place at the right time. Maybe not even realizing when they started out or even when they arrived that they were being directed there by God. In some cases, they did. I think about Abraham's servant who was sent out by his master to find a wife for Isaac. And he prayed that the Lord would guide him to the right person. And it looks like coincidence as we read the story of how he came upon the herdsman of her father and how God worked all of this out. He said, being in the way, the Lord led me. And he was there at the right place at the right time to meet those men and in turn met the young lady and took her back with him to be the bride of his master's son. When Jacob met Rachel, again it was a case of being in the right place at the right time for that meeting to take place. Joseph down in Egypt, when Pharaoh had a dream, or more than one dream, that he could not interpret, and that his wise men could not interpret. But there was Joseph in one of Pharaoh's prisons, and he was brought forth, and he told Pharaoh the meaning of his dream. And we know that wonderful story of Joseph. And as we go back to the beginning of it, it looks like a terrible thing that happened to this young man. And humanly speaking, it was. But yet it was a great thing that happened. But he was able to say, after it all took place, to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Think about Moses, hidden away in the river, in the bulrushes. His Pharaoh's daughter passed by. And again, that's a story with which we're well acquainted. Moses wasn't there of his own doing. He was placed there by his mother. But she put him in the right place, just at the right time. Daniel in Babylon. Now think about Zacchaeus up in the sycamore tree as Jesus passed by. What an experience he had, because he happened to be in the right place at the right time when the Son of God came by. And we have a story in Acts about Philip going out into the desert. Here was all this desert land. No paved roads. I don't think that Philip had a map. But there he was, just at the right intersection. So when the Ethiopian eunuch passed by, reading the Old Testament scriptures, Philip was there to guide him and to direct him. And God still specializes today in getting those who follow him in the right place at the right time. It would be a very interesting exercise tonight to hear testimonies from many of you who have experienced this in your own lives. Some in regard to your salvation, some in regard to your marriage, some in regard to your vocation, some in regard to escape from what seemed to be certain death. One of the advantages of getting a little older is to be able to look back and look at times that you were in the right place at the right time for something to occur. I look back to a day in 1963. I don't remember what day of the week it was. It was in the summertime. It was in the month of June. I was doing some business with a printer. And I went into the print shop, carry out my business. And the printer said to me, "Our pastor retired. I wonder if you'd consider sometime coming and preaching for us." I wasn't a preacher. I hadn't trained to be a preacher. But I figured if they could put up with me, I would do it. And that changed the course of my life. And it's still affecting my life today, because 37 years later, I'm still here in this congregation. And as I went there that day, I didn't see anything really significant about that visit to that shop, anything really significant that was going to be having a long-lasting effect about that man asking me to come and fill the pulpit in this church after the pastor had retired. But it was something that changed my life and the course of my life and that changed the course of our family's life. And it wasn't that I had been super spiritual. I just was doing what I had to do, just doing what my duties were that day. And I was there in the right place for that to occur. And I say, all of you could probably, who've been around a while, could give a story or give an event from your life something similar to that. Of course, the other side of the story concerns those who through self-will find themselves in the wrong place at the wrong time. When Abraham went down into Egypt, recorded in Genesis chapter 12, he was in the wrong place. And he got into difficulty because of it. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and went down into that wicked city. And God had to destroy that city because of its wickedness. And Lot was there. He's in the wrong place at the wrong time. David at home in his palace when he should have been out on the battlefield fell into deep sin. Again, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. King Jehoshaphat fighting with Ahab almost had his own life taken away from him. He shouldn't have been there fighting with Ahab. He shouldn't have been in the company of Ahab. Jehoshaphat was a man who knew God. Ahab was a man who didn't know God. And I say Jehoshaphat, the man of God, almost had his life snuffed out because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Certainly Jonah was in the wrong place when he was in the whale's belly. And Peter warming himself at the enemy's fire. Cursed and said he didn't know his Lord. He denied him. He was in the wrong place. Self-will led each one of them to the wrong place at the wrong time. And had Joseph and Mary been self-willed, Mary never would have been in Bethlehem on that Christmas night, but she was there. And God will sometimes get us in the right place at the right time without any involvement on our part. But we can count on God doing it. First of all, when our souls are saved, we've trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. When our minds are attentive to the Word of God and to the things of God. When our hearts are submissive to the will of God. And when our ways are obedient to the leading of the Lord. When those things are true, we can be just as assured that we're going to be in the right place at the right time as Mary and Joseph were in the right place at the right time when they were there in Bethlehem for Jesus to be born. Some of you tonight are in the right place. And it's the right time for you to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. There may be other times that you could have trusted Him. And there may be times yet in the future when you'll be able to trust Him. But I say this is the right place and this is the right time. The Bible is the book that says, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And if you're a professed believer and you're out of fellowship with God and you're walking in self-will instead of God's will, you're in the right place and this is the right time to confess your sins, knowing that He'll be faithful and just to cleanse you from your sins, forgive your sins, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Yes, there are many miracles associated with Christmas. The birth of Christ, the greatest miracle. But a part of that was the miracle of Joseph and Mary being in Bethlehem when the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Let's pray. Father, thank You for all of the miracles that were involved in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone in this service tonight who's not saved, who hasn't truly been born again, help them to know they're in the right place. And this is the right time for them to confess sin, to pray this prayer, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. And we believe when that prayer is prayed from the heart, it will be answered immediately. And if there are those Christians here, profess to know Christ, and yet they're walking in disobedience, help them to realize that this is the right place. This is the right time tonight on this Christmas Eve for them to get their hearts right and once again walk in thy will and in thy way. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to share this time with this beautiful music of Christmas and to think about this great miracle that occurred on that first Christmas night. In Jesus' name, amen.
With this service, we are going to continue tonight, and that is the singing of the Hallelujah Chorus with the choir. And those of you here in our congregation who have sung it before and wish to join us, we're in just a moment, we're going to be singing a congregational song. And while we do that, we'll ask you to come to the platform and join us and get ready to sing. This brief instruction for you, if you are an alto or a bass, we would have you come up on this side. The choir will move down and there will be some seats in the choir loft for you, and they'll give you all the room you need. If you're a tenor and a soprano, come up on this side and join the folks over here. And if you have your book with you, bring it. If not, we have extra copies of the score for you, so there's no excuse for you to join us. So if you have ever sung the Hallelujah Chorus before and would like to join us for that, we encourage you to come and do that. While they're doing that, we're going to stand and sing Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm, All is Bright. Would you stand, please, as we sing? At the sight.
majestic note, we come to the close of our service. We have Mr. Ronald Harrison here that was saved about 2 weeks ago, and he came forward tonight just to let it be known that he's trusted the Lord as his Savior, and we're grateful for that. And if you have an opportunity to speak with him before you go on your way, he'll be here at the front. I hope you will do so. Thank you again for coming, and I trust you'll have a blessed Christmas. You're dismissed.